We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He said, he told me a second ago when I was back there, he said, I'm coming back with a banger. I was like, okay.
It is.
What are we listening to?
I don't know this one. I didn't have my headset in right away.
Hey, I don't know this.
This that Drizzy Drake, S.O.D. You 100 gigs on your head top.
Drake voice, you're like,
y'all know the vibes.
You just see, he just lowered his tone.
Wow.
Hey, ladies.
Doesn't sound like a house DJ. Y'all know the vibes.
I know this might rattle your license plate if you're going down the road, but it doesn't really get me excited. It doesn't really pump me up.
How do you not like the bass?
I love the bass, but it's not making me get hyped. It's just kind of a mellow song. Like I said, it'll rattle your license plate, but it ain't doing much other than
it's
that.
Wait. I hate this word. It's a vibe. So that's more of what it is. It's not meant to play before you're going to play a game or go lift. You know, maybe.
Well, this is a good song
that makes
to listen.
Sense. This, yeah. You explained it right. But Dylan, my point is at 7 a.m., I want to hear something makes me run through a wall. That makes me feel a vibe.
Well, I don't know if everybody wants to run through a wall at 7 a.m. Some people are still waking up and they want to ease into their day. And they want a vibey song at 7 a.m.
Wow.
I somehow, between the three of y'all, have not heard one thing I disagree with in the last minute. I agree
good
with
points all around.
Yeah.
Well, when I talk about the Falcons' 53-man roster being announced, I want to run through a wall. So
Tiff did miss the two perfect top five Tuesdays. It was crazy. It's crazy. I actually took the lid off this place a couple times.
I'm surprised that he hasn't pulled his shoulder out of socket, patting himself on the back.
I was there for Top Five Tuesdays.
No, I know. I'm saying you missed two good ones. We had Kirk Cousins' birthday playlist. Oh, just bangers. And then
now, did you take the playlist that he actually had at practice, or did you? Okay.
Yep. And pick the top five songs of that. Also, I had my top five songs from my pregame playlist that I found on my iPod.
That one wasn't bad. That one was actually good.
That one was pretty heavy.
Dang, kicking it back on your iPod. Yeah. Was it a...
Yeah, found that iPod.
iPod Shuffle? What were you using
I think it was a Nano.
Wow.
It was an SEC Championship gift from
Collector's Edition.
Yeah, it had the SEC logo on it. Yeah, there's some good ones on there.
All right. I'm curious to know what a lot of these guys on the Falcons 53-man roster have on their playlist, aside from Kirk Cousins. But I would think... I don't know. What would you think Bijan and Tyler Allgeier and Avery Williams and Jace McClellan might they be bumping to?
Jeezy? I don't know. I'm not the person to ask this, obviously.
No.
I think the Dylons of the world are probably more equipped to answer that. But
they're all listening to Drake.
Come on, bro.
Can't confirm.
Get this man out of here.
All right, well, we flip to the other side of the ball. Are you going to anticipate defense having more – less vibey music and more I'm going to take your head off style music?
I hope my linebackers ain't vibing with the license plate rattler. I hope they got something that's going to hit you in the mouth.
Yeah, I would say louder vibey music for the defense. It's always louder. They listen to music louder than offensive players, in my opinion.
I need some little John Eastside boys for the defense.
Look, I'm sure
side.
Some of your DBs have that.
Good.
We go to the safeties. You got Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Richie Grant, and Micah Abernathy.
You know, Micah Abernathy is an interesting one because he's a good player. But
I don't think either one of us said Micah Abernathy.
But you don't
you
think?
Did not.
I didn't have him. I had Antonio Hamilton Sr. and Kevin King on the roster, kind of filling those voids. Honestly, and I know Hamilton made it as a cornerback. And he's going to play in that nickel. But Hamilton and Kevin King are two guys that can kind of play everywhere, including like that dime linebacker spot when they want to do that. That's a look that they've shown in practice that, you know, Arch has talked about and we've talked about, Mike. To me, I wonder, though, if Antonio Hamilton Sr. kind of took a spot from Kevin King as far as that they only wanted to have one of the versatile guys and everybody else, they wanted to have a design role.
I probably. And I think that Kevin King, look, I think that you'll probably try to put Kevin King on P-Squad, and I think you probably want him to just have more reps at the safety spot. It was the first thing Bo and I noticed when we went out to practice. Day one, Kevin King was signed as a corner. He was given basically nothing. It felt like a favor by Jimmy Lake to say, hey, we'd love to have you in training camp. And the first thing you notice is he's playing safety. Like, I mean, the first day he's out there playing safety, and it's like, all right, working on position flexibility for Kevin King. And yet, as you move along and he plays multiple positions, you feel good about that and kind of his spot in the secondary. I think eventually it's probably a guy you'd love to get back in the mix. But I think it sounds like to me one of those issues where, hey, we'd love to see more reps of you being able to do this. So maybe we get you through to the P squad, you get safety reps on P squad, and you go from that direction.
Can I say a name that I think is a really good player that got cut, but I hope will make it back on the practice squad out of the secondary? That's Jaden Price, young kid out of North Dakota State. I think he's a guy that showed range to kind of do some of that stuff too. Good player, got cut. I think he'll be back on the practice squad, hopefully with Kevin King, to your point. And Natron Brooks, I don't know how many DBs you can keep. You got 16 spots, but those are three guys that I really, really like.
No, and you knew the direction I was going with that. Kevin King was yours. Natron Brooks was mine. I mean, Natron Brooks was a guy to me, shows up, he's the defensive player, or he's the player of the game there in week number two of the preseason. I thought he flew around and played exceptional football. I mean, he looked like an NFL starting corner in that week two, that preseason. Now, you ask yourself, you know, who is he playing against and all the other stuff. But really, it wasn't the coverage skills. It was the recognition of how they were attacking him and flying up on speed screens and being a physical, sure tackler, even in the flat, even on running backs. So I thought there would be a spot for Natron Brooks. I didn't know who exactly you'd move, but I kind of had Mike Abernathy out of that slot. I'm still not sure that won't be the case at some point. But like I said, I mean, this is kind of what you've been dealt with the first week, and you want to see more of those reps down the road.
Corner-wise, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, Clark Phillips, and Antonio Hamilton, Sr.
Yeah, there's no surprises there.
That's,
I think,
gonna say, it's pretty standard operating procedure, what you would expect.
It absolutely, Steph. I think A.J. and Hughes are going to be outside guys. I think D. Alford, you're starting nickel, and I think Hamilton will back him up, while Clark Phillips is your swing DB, swing cornerback, if I may. And I think that's good. I think real quick, DeMarco Helms was put on the IAR designated return, and I mentioned that because, you know, Mike, me and you speculated more than me because you have been out there and unfortunately suffered some setbacks injury wise, and you thought,
yeah,
you had a kind of a thought on what it might be.
Yeah, I think it, the timeline, the reaction to the original injury, which was air cast and cart, mixed with the timeline of the injury and the IR situation, to me, it feels like probably a fibula, and you don't ever want to speculate. But yeah, it is like, if anybody remembers the Terrell Owens situation, he gets hurt at the, kind of the end of the year, and 6 weeks later, he's able to play in the Super Bowl. Not fully healthy, but he was cleared, and he goes off in the Super Bowl. I don't remember how many yards he had, but he had a good Super Bowl run. That seems like, to me, what you may be dealing with, a non-displaced fibula kind of thing, which is just a very, very, very severe version of the high ankle sprain. But nonetheless, that kind of opens the door for your return at some point.
And for the record, that happened, I think, on, was it the 8th or the 9th or something like that, of August? We're now at the 28th, so that was 20 days ago.
It was during the Miami game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember if that was the 8th or the 9th. I think it might have been the 7th, but it was somewhere around. No, it was the 9th. It was the 9th because Zach Bryan was the 10th, and that was a Saturday. So it was the 9th. So that's been almost 20 days from now. So he would be basically back in October, I think, or could possibly start working his way back and maybe have that 2 week span to practice. Maybe beginning of October. Maybe if that's the case, hopefully in October.
Can I shift gears and go to offense?
Yeah, sure.
And we can talk tight ends and Kyle Pitts, because that's someone's name that is often brought up because there are some lofty expectations on him this season. I did see an NFL.com bold predictions that they predict the headline, Kyle Pitts, to have a massive year.
No, Tev, you're mistaken. That was a morning shift big headline. It was breaking news on the morning shift.
I think
Mike
I
and
said
Bo
he
predict.
Would take the league by storm.
Yeah, and I said
so
something.
So they stole it from you and then put it into, that's it, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
And listen, and look, we talked about this a number of times throughout training camp. Nobody was maybe harder on Kyle Pitts than me. But we got a chance to visit with him a couple weeks ago, and really, it's just been a new person. I asked him, you know, in our interview with him, I asked him first and foremost, I was like, You're a dad now. You're still a really young player. I mean, lots been made about the fact that he's younger than Michael Penix, and he's going into year four, but he's fully healthy. He just looks different. He looks like he has a pep in his step. We also asked him about, you know, what his feeling was when Kirk Cousins signed, and he lit up. And it's like funny. You can get so much more of a reaction to those guys' facial expressions in person when you're talking to them. And Kyle Pitts was one of those guys that just lit up, and he seemed excited about the year to come. So it's not shocking to me that all the prognosticators out there, Tiff, and the fantasy gurus are like, Kyle Pitts, worth a look.
Yeah, he had a great camp, and he looked like Kyle Pitts from 2021. He carried himself with the excitement he had to be out there, like a veteran version of that 21 player that we saw as a rookie. Because, I mean, well, look, he's got two guys that I think can both get him the ball whenever he needs. And I think there's excitement on to prove that he's that guy that we thought he is who we thought he was.
A lot to be said about that.
All right. Still to come here on the morning shift, your Braves. Are you still cautiously optimistic?
Offensively.
Has that changed after?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I need a string of offensive, just games where you get hits when they're needed. We're 8 out of 10, but I will say that 8 out of 10 pitching was very dominant. Starting pitching was very dominant in most of those games.
All right.
Don't be Chicken Little, man.
Well, see if you can lift your spirits up after the break. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the morning shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I am with you as far as those looking a little bit more distracting.
Michael Harris down the right field line, and that ball is fair. I think the wrist is feeling pretty good for Michael Harris. 2-0 Braves in the second. My, 424 feet.
Woo, man, had him quick hands through the zone. That's a Michael Harris big fly. That's a tater last night watching that ball fly. I don't know, Bo, if that ball ever had a downward trajectory. I'll be honest with you, man. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Tiff is on her way to Hawaii to cover the Hawaii game this weekend. So it's Mike and Bo with you the rest of the way, man. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean.
Yeah, had he hit it with like his wedge, somebody would have said you sculled it.
Yeah,
I mean that's what
he just flicked.
Yeah,
it, dude.
Well, his that was the thing you and I noticed. His wrist or his hands and his wrist were so quick on that swing. It was like. He was like, oh, here it is. Oh, release. And he released his hands and yickety.
Yeah. It is funny, too, because that was the injury concern, the hand and the wrist for Michael Harris. The reason you didn't see him for just a small stretch as he was a defensive replacement the day before. Nonetheless, the Braves get it done on the road last night against Minnesota. Obviously, man, a lot of big games coming up, but it's like you said earlier, they've won a lot of games. They're piecing it together. They're trying to make us believers, even though they are doing it about as patchwork as a lineup can possibly be at this point.
Well,
but they're getting it done, dude, and that's the beauty of the entire story with the Atlanta Braves this year is as much as we want to say this ain't the year, they continue to roll off victories and stay in the playoff hunt.
Well, that's what agitates me to an extent is I think part of it's who – where you're at in the NL where it's so tight and in the NL East where it's basically there, you know, three teams are within 9 games of each other. But you look at it and I look at the Astros and I was hearing somebody was telling me the Astros, man, those Astros are really good. They're red hot. They're 70-62. They just lost two straight to the Phillies, yet they lead their division by 3.5 games because of the debacle the Mariners have become. And then you look at the Braves and you're like, Braves are 72-60. They suck. That's like the mindset of us as Atlanta fans. And I understand it completely. It's because of the expectations, but it's also because of the injuries. And I'm sitting here across from Rob Monday and he's like, yes, lost season. Yeah, lost season. And I go, Rob, lost season, doesn't matter. They're not gonna win a World Series lost season. And I don't know if he's right or wrong. And I'm not going to sit here on August 28th and say the season's over, they won't win a World Series. But to call it a lost season if you get into the playoffs and even win, even make it, if you make it out of the wild card, right, and make it to the divisional round, I can't say it's a lost season because I, what I would say is it was a season where you salvaged something out of a plethora of injuries that a lot of franchises would not overcome.
Look, man, here's how I sit on this. My brain is still 15 years ago. If you're not the first wild card team in my brain, it means you didn't make it to the playoffs. And I know that it expanded to 2 wild card teams and then 3 wild card teams. And now we have this format we have right now. But I don't think it's a lost season, but I think I kind of, if there was a fence between you and Rob, your team, hey, let's catch fire. I'll ride to the last minute. And Rob, his team, lost season. I probably have both my feet on Rob's side of the fence. And it just feels
as you're not riding the fence, because I can't stand fence riders. They are the people that just
what opinion would be a fence rider for that? Could be good. I don't know. My point is that
you're just waiting to see. Oh, I'll wait to see. Don't be a fence rider. Give us what you think.
My thing is, I am going to ride with the Braves, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to be plugged in, and even with it being football season, so's everything
Rob.
Else going on. But you do get to a point where you're like, dude, it's just not meant to be. And I think that's okay. Like, if that's your feeling, that's okay.
And look, they might go to Philadelphia for this fourth.
And we're saying this after a win, by the way, so I'm just going to throw that out there. Ding. But they won last night.
Yeah, but they've always been around that 10 games above 500. That's where they've kind of wavered.
Yeah, they've hovered there.
For the last, 3 months, I would say. And look, I don't know what they might lose the next 5 in a row. And we might sit here and say, well, they're 7 games above 500. It's lost. So you're out of the wild card. You just don't know. But for whatever reason, this team has fought and clawed, and you're getting amazing performances from Whit Merrifield and Gio Urshela and Ramon Laureano. And I mean, so there has to be some. You can't kill the manager constantly, not saying you are. But you can't kill Snitker and all these guys constantly, and then when they do well, be like, yeah, well, prove it in October. I mean, that's a coward's response.
Yeah. Stay tuned, because later on the show, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Atlanta United home match versus Nashville on Saturday, September 14th in the Benz. That'll be at 7:30. We also have John Talty coming up at 8:20. If you guys have seen excerpt from new book, says that Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin's relationship. That's John Talty. He's the one that wrote the book. He'll come on at 8:20. We also have steak tips where we'll kind of preview the upcoming first half of the Falcons schedule, so that'll be a lot of fun. All right, for now, though, let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close! Bring it in close!
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings
with In the Huddle on the Morning Shift.
Ja'Marr Chase. Will be expected to play in the season opener. Zach Taylor said yesterday he missed all training camp. Just one of those guys that's been back and forth in terms of contract negotiation. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously a big-time player when it comes to that team up there. Kind of need him in the fold, man, if they're going to be very good in Cincinnati. But he is expected to play after missing all of training camp. So I guess good news, at least if you're a fantasy owner out there, Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. I don't necessarily care, but it is what it is.
I mean, I just thought he was sitting out, right? I mean, yeah. So, okay. Well, that's it. Now you can
welcome back.
You can sit in.
Welcome back.
You can sit in at training camp. Oh, let's see if he's in football shape. I'm not saying he's not, but I think there's a difference that first game. Is it real? Like that first game back where you go a full game or even three, half a game. It's different than a training camp, right?
Be interested to see how he and CeeDee Lamb and a lot of those other guys perform. Here's Zach Taylor.
Yeah, he's looked great. You know, same Ja'Marr I'm used to, and the plan will be continue to practice with him.
Zach, I think my Zoom may have cut out. Did you say the plan is for Ja'Marr to be ready for week one?
Yeah, he's going to practice this week, and we'll just keep taking it from there.
Are you confident he'll play week one?
Yeah, we are confident he'll play week one.
What was going on? Hold on, that cut is confusing.
I
need context, Dylan, if you're going to play a cut like that. Because clearly what that was he asked a question, and Zach Taylor said, he looks good so far, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, I'm sorry, I must have cut out. And I love the passive-aggressive.
Wait, what? What? My Zoom cut out.
Yeah, did
my
you Zoom. Say he's going to play week
is there
one?
Anything, is there anything more 2024 than my Zoom cut out? Can you say that again?
What,
my
just,
Zoom cut out.
Why are you on Zoom anyways?
All right, so one of the guys that won't be playing, Dolphins wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. will start the season on the PUP list. He's been out with an undisclosed injury. They signed him to kind of go alongside those first and second guys, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, but they have not been on the field together so far. And he will start the season on the PUP list. You got any expectations for Odell Beckham in that offense? I think it could have been cool.
I think it still can be. I think it can still be cool.
When I see it mode, I guess.
I'm just, to me, Odell's a guy that's going to give you 10 or 11 games a year, season, and be slightly above solid, right?
Yeah.
He's going to flash here or there. But if you're looking for that 115 catch, one-handed, leaping, grab Odell Beckham. I think that guy might have exited the building.
He might have gone by way of the White Buffalo, as one of my old coaches would say. He might be extinct.
Yeah, he might be extinct. That guy doesn't exist anymore. This is a guy that is healthy for a handful of games, a little more than a handful. And I have to double check. I don't think he was terrible last year as far as what Baltimore got out of him, but I also don't know how much they completely leaned on him late last year in Baltimore, because you go back and you look at it. I mean, last year he had 35 catches for a little over 500 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In fact, dude hasn't had a 70-plus catch season since 2019. He hasn't had a 100-yard catch season since 2016.
Yeah.
So, the Odell Beckham, you remember? Toodles.
Yeah. All right, some other quarterback news from the NFL. It is funny, man, because you go to like all the websites and it's like, you know, more shocking roster moves. What were my biggest roster takeaways? And a lot of these people have the Taylor Heineke stuff sitting there at number one. Like, the Falcons are not messing around at quarterback. CBS Sports has got that. We covered Taylor Heineke a little bit earlier today. I am shocked that he's on the roster. I don't know how long that works out. I think you've got some log jams at other positions that you kind of have to work out. But I still think there is value in Taylor Heineke and having him kind of as a depth guy. The other interesting half of that, Bo, is that D. Ritty, the Cincinnati kid, it is not on the roster out in Arizona right now. And hey, look, man, if y'all are out there and you're just all over Desmond Ridder right now, can we calm down a little bit? I opened up Twitter.
You mean if you're tweeting about him being a DoorDash driver kind of stuff?
The thing is, like, there's, you know, he had a DoorDash commercial and it's like literally trending right now. It's going viral again because his DoorDash commercial, everybody's like, well, there he is, delivering food. That's Desmond. Dude, here's what I'm going to say about this. Desmond Ridder tried to do all the right things. We hate on this guy because of his play on the field. He was never lazy. He was never mean or rude to anybody in the organization. I still stand by the fact that if you're going to blame anybody, to me, it's Arthur Smith. I think that Arthur Smith drafted this guy in the third round, puts him in a bad situation, and now all of a sudden everybody makes fun of him. It's like, it stinks, dude. It stinks.
Unreal expectations, maybe, a little bit. I'm guilty,
man,
of it. I bought into it. I thought Des was the guy, but I'm also not going to take cheap shots at him. You know, but the joke is Desmond and I broke up last December in Carolina.
And that's fine.
We took a road trip together. It didn't end well for us.
Yeah.
But I'm not sitting here taking cheap shots. Where are you in your life that you can take cheap shots at a guy that lived his dream? And might still have a chance to live it on the practice squad somewhere.
I think he will.
Where are you at?
I think he will.
So you want to make fun? You know, you should look in the mirror at those things. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it is... It's a miserable day for NFL players or anyone that's close to the game, especially guys that used to play it or work in the business. And to see people take cheap shots at folks that were living out their dreams or trying to, I just think it makes you – I think – what does it say about you as a human being?
Yeah.
That's my soapbox. I'm off of it now.
There you go. I don't mind
now
that.
Now I'm
going to
kill Mike.
I usually hate your soapbox.
At Which Way Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah. Listen, a little bit of other news. Ernest Jones is traded to the Titans. That's interesting. A couple of their big wide receivers getting let go. And Sean Clifford cut from the Packers, obviously, after the big trade from Malik Willis that we talked about yesterday. We do have Which One Wednesday. It's a little bit different today because I'm tired of this man running off of the mouth as I'm sitting there just asking questions.
With a nation
of? So we got
of?
Dylan stepping back up to the plate. He'll host Which One Wednesday. That is going to be part of Mic'd Up because me versus Bo.
Finally!
Hey!
Finally!
That means Day-Day's the judge.
Well, that means that you
if
might be
Dylan
screwed.
Dylan is asking questions.
That means that you might be screwed. So it is
right?
What it is. That's mic'd up. That's mic'd up. Which One Wednesday? I promise. I promise you don't want to miss this. Coming back on the other side of the break, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the morning shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Squidbilly hanging out with you here on this roster cutdown Wednesday. It's also Which One Wednesday. I'm tired of Bo running off at the mouth on Which One Wednesday and just talking all kinds of noise.
I don't talk noise. I back it up. I mean, you act like
I was talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it just your show?
It is my segment. Don't you always say that?
You talk in my segment all the time.
Anyways, you talk a lot of trash to the people that I host on Wednesday.
Because I beat them.
And I'm tired of it. So I was like, Dylon, how about you step up to the plate? Just like we did last week on Fair Foul, Dylon's going to host Which One Wednesday.
I feel
so
like
we
I'm
can
being
spar
set
up,
up
a little bit.
I feel like I'm being set up.
I have no sleight of hand. There's nothing up my sleeve. I promise you. I just want to see how this rolls. And we might agree on every single thing. I don't know. But let's roll it out there, Dylon, and see, man.
All right. We're going to start with this. Obviously, roster cutdown day, a big day. Big night for the Atlanta Braves, too. So with this, I'm going to mix them a little bit here. Which one is more likely? The Braves, after all their trials and tribulations that they have gone through this season, they make the World Series. They don't have to win it, just a World Series berth, or the Falcons getting a berth in the Super Bowl. So which one is more likely? The Braves making the World Series or the Falcons making the Super Bowl? Which one?
Well, that is as tough as it gets. That is as tough as it gets. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think Major League Baseball is set up in a way to have the team that spends the most has the best opportunity to win. And that would be a Dodgers or a Phillies. You know, you could go to the Yankees in some ways. The Orioles are a good young team. They haven't spent a lot. But all those teams are a lot healthier and in a lot better position. The Falcons have yet to start their season. They're pretty healthy. And parity is something that is seen more in the NFL as far as teams making the playoffs. However, I will say you do see the same teams making the Super Bowl every year.
Are you done?
But getting the dance, Dylan, I think the Falcons can get the dance with veteran leadership, an explosive defense. An opportunistic defense with an explosive offense, and we could be in the Super Bowl.
Shocker here, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Sit down. This is a team in the Braves that have already, five-sixths of the way through the season and have already proven themselves that they have the pitching to be able to get this done. Do I believe in the Braves as World Series winners? No, but you know you have the staff at least to get that done. I love the Atlanta Falcons roster. There are way too many questions. At this point, it is impossible almost to go from a 7-10 season and a fired coach to getting a berth back in the Super Bowl. Ryan Snicker knows how to get it done. This roster knows how to get it done. They're gritty. They play with some pluck. They got all the right guys. They'll get healthy eventually. The Braves are way more likely to make it to the World Series than the Falcons and the Super Bowl.
You heard it here. The Falcons will not make the playoffs or even the Super Bowl, according to this guy.
That's what you love people to think, isn't it?
I'm glad you're such a Debbie Downer.
You're like Twitter in person. All right, keep
Chicken
going.
Chicken Little over here.
All right, we're starting out of the gate strong. I like it.
Chicken Hawk from Foghorn Leghorn.
Keep this same energy with a non-sports question. You know I like to take a peek at my national days. We'll get back to the sports, but a quick change up for you here. Today is National Red Wine Day. And I know at first I was thinking, should I do Which One, red wine or something else? But there's no other option for you guys. So I had to do this. Which one would you rather have after a long day? And cold beer is not an option. Which one would you rather have after a long day out of these red wines? A Merlot or a Pinot Noir? I know these are two beer drinkers here, so I don't know how sophisticated they are about knowing the difference, but here we go.
No, the Pinot Noir is the Merlot, fine. It's a little too dry for me, I'm going to be honest with you. And look, I don't know where Squid's at. I know he's a fan of his cranberry vodkas and things like that. I'm a little more cultured, however. All right, and I know that the Pinot Noir, doesn't have the dryness, maybe a little more buttery from here and there. But when I am winding down after a long day, maybe an Italian style of dinner, something like that, maybe I've had a nice risotto, something along those lines, I would like to go with the Pinot Noir, the Merlot. Little too dry for me on the back end. I don't want to wake up at 2 a.m. going, you know what I mean? Give me something with a little more juice to it. Go ahead, Bo.
Mike just broke it down beautifully, Bo. I love to see how you counter this.
Well, first off, I'm a man that enjoys the reds, not a white.
By red, he means cranberry.
Not a white wine guy, but nothing makes me happier than going by the Buckhead Butcher Shop on the way home and getting me one of those, maybe a tomahawk, maybe just a cowboy ribeye. Putting it on the big egg, big green egg, you know.
Just pay attention to this politician over here. He's like, let me talk to you about the red meats, not the red wine.
A little Kraft box macaroni and cheese. I make it special. I was born on the box, raised on it. And then opening up a nice bottle of Merlot. I'm a huge Merlot fan. It's my number one go-to. I'll take it over a Pinot all day long. You know, I'm not like Mike. I think it tastes phenomenally, and I don't wake up like some people, because I'm a man. I'm 40.
It's a decision. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Donald. Keep going.
Okay. Let's get back to sports here. Which one is more likely to happen? Marcell Ozuna gets the triple crown. That is obviously RBIs, home runs, batting average. He leads 2 out of 3 right now in the NL. He doesn't have to be anybody AL, just in the NL. Or Kirk Cousins gets the MVP. Now, just a little context. He is currently 4 home runs behind Shohei Ohtani. Shohei has 41, Marcell at 37 right now. Which one is more likely? Marcell getting the triple crown or Kirk Cousins wins MVP? We will start. Bo, Mike, you started last time. Bo, we'll start with you.
Well, I know we're running up against it. I know Mike's going to be long-winded as normal. So I would go with Marcell Ozuna. He has had a phenomenal year. He is hitting the cover off the ball right now. Unbelievable what he's been able to do. I think Kirk Cousins, while he could have an MVP performance, he's got more around him that is healthy at the moment that I would project that could almost battle him. You know, you never know what kind of year Bijan Robinson's going to have, or and running backs can sneak in still. Marcell Ozuna has been one of the best players in baseball since May of 2023, and that's not slowing down for the rest of this season.
With Kirk Cousins, we can project. We can project what he'll be like with Zach Robinson. We can project what this offense might be with Raheem Morris in the head coaching spot. We can project what Kyle Pitts and Drake London will do all year. We really simply don't know. So from a Vegas perspective, two of the things of the three we do know is that Marcell Ozuna is leading in two of these categories and not the third. So projections as far as the Falcons. And things I know, and projections as far as Marcell Ozuna and the Triple Crown. Give me that. Bo, what do you need to say?
You just said a bunch of word salad, and also you're channeling your inner Gabe Orton here.
Is that what it is? I noticed.
Yeah, you're not saying anything more intelligently. You're just saying it louder.
Wow. Did you say I was going to talk for a long time? Go ahead, Dylan.
All right, last one real quick here. Which one are you taking? Georgia winning the national championship or the field to win the national championship?
Ooh.
Mike, you get to start.
Man, look, I believe there's a great chance for Georgia to win their own triple crown, and I mean national championship, Heisman, and first overall draft pick. Great chance. All right, but the odds tell me that usually the guy that's the bell of the ball before the year does not end up that way. Most times in college football history, that's not how it rolls. I've seen enough Alabama preseason number ones to see them not happen. It's also a very difficult schedule for the Georgia Bulldogs. Give me the field. I do think probably somebody from the SEC. I'm not ready to say that about Alabama. I love Texas. Give me the field for that one, Dylan. And it's a very, very close race. That's a great which one.
Yeah, this is a tough one because you'd ask any other year, and I think you could have said Georgia. Let me rephrase it. Had we not just be starting a completely new system with a 12-team playoff with the expansion in these conferences we have had, with the schedules looking as tough as they do, Georgia and Florida both play the toughest schedules. I have to go. And also, we haven't seen a team spend an outrageous $20-plus million on a roster in a weaker conference. I would say Georgia all the way, but the field, we just don't even know what the field looks like. We don't even know what the field looks like right now with 11 other teams. I got to go field.
All right. We got to hurry up.
All right, so we actually have a tie right now. All so right. Quick, rapid fire one.
10 seconds for
for you here. All right. Honestly, I did not expect this. So we're gonna go with this. Which one is a better? We can't even. All right, we'll have to go with this. Which one is a better music genre? Let's go with country, or let's go with alternative rock.
It's not even close. Like I like alternative rock. It's not even close. Country is it's a storytelling genre. Okay, it's all about the life you live and the story you want to tell. Even though I think most of them are lies. Alternative rock. I mean, like that's cool. Like let's just mumble a little bit. Let's play the guitar at a high level. It's not that I don't like it, but come on, dude. It's not even worth talking about.
Is he done? It's amazing to me that someone that uses an alternative rock song in his musical open for his segment.
Okay, what's he talking about?
Let me finish. My turn to talk.
No.
It's my time.
It's a storytelling genre.
It's my time.
It's a short storytelling
genre. Is going to crap on that genre. Alternative rock changed the way we use music, and it's also sampled in other musical outlets like R&B and hip hop.
10 seconds or less.
It is abso-freaking-lutely alternative rock, and I'm a country boy.
No.
All right, let's head to Judge Data quickly for the results.
Guys, it was tough, but I'm sorry, Mike. Bo got you on this one.
This is not
the alternative rock, bro. The alternative rock.
Steal!
It was the alternative rock. I have no hate against country. But
I don't even know how we were tied.
Country
though.
Was downer, man.
The raining.
So here's the thing.
The fending.
It was. I was asked for my outlook. It was all about the debate, not
know,
about the right answer.
I know, but the answer was just not selling.
Whatever.
Storytelling.
Whatever. All right, here's what we're gonna do. We got wake up
tell
call.
Tell your story.
404-726-0929. We gotta get to break. 404-726-0929. Here's the question: Georgia Bulldogs or the field? Georgia Bulldogs or the field for the national title? And also, what did you think about the initial 53-man? Any surprises from the initial 53-man for the Atlanta Falcons? That's coming up on the other side. It's Morning Shift. Mike and Squid hanging out with you. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.